Before we partake, I just wanted to read a portion of Scripture from Matthew 26, in verse 17, as to what this is about. It says, "Now, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, under the Jewish law, the whole week of the Passover was a week of unleavened bread. They were supposed to go through and clean out their houses of anything with leaven. Represents corruption, fermentation. And it was during this feast day that the preparation for the Passover took place. So the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? Our Lord did not partake of the Passover because of any personal sin or need for that Passover, but rather as the fulfillment of the law. He was to obey the law in every jot and tittle. So up until the cross, he was observant, just like we saw Joseph subjected himself to the master's rule and household. Christ subjected himself to the law. So he came to fulfill. And he said, verse 18, Go into the city to such a man and say unto him, The master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. This would have been someone that was the Lord's, on whom he had already set his favor, for whom he would pay the debt. And it was the Lord who determined that he would come to his house that day and be his guest, just like Zacchaeus. But the part that I would point out is my time is at hand, in the fullness of the time. All those thousands of years of slaughtering Passover lambs every year now came down to this one time where the Lord would fulfill it and partake of it one last time, the Passover, the old Jewish Passover, one last time. After that, it's to be no more. I know there's congregations around here, around Passover time, they actually bring in Jewish rabbis and people to come and do a little Seder, they call it. Get the Passover out and show people how to partake of the Passover, how they did it back in the day. There's nothing in that old Passover for any of us, for the Lord's. It's what Christ accomplished. But here it was necessary that Christ fulfill the law. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them. I like that word too. There's nothing inviting. The Lord doesn't invite anybody to do anything. He appoints. He directs. And they made ready the Passover. Now, when the even was come, he sat down to the 12. The Passover was to be slain in the evening. Christ died, gave up his spirit in the evening, in the eve of the day. So everything was according to the law that he fulfilled. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Just like Israel of old, they had the law, they had the gospel through the symbols and types. They partook of the Passover, and yet there's no salvation in the Passover, in the partaking. And I would warn any of us to think that there's any salvation in this cup or in this bread, even as a picture of Christ. Put this bread on a dead man's lips, force it down his throat, it doesn't give him life. Open his jaws and pour this in, it doesn't give life. There's no life in what we hold in our hand here. The life is in who it represents. So, is it possible to partake and not be the Lord's? Many do. Here was one partaking of the Old Testament Passover. He said that. He points them out. One of you shall betray me. It says they were exceeding sorrowful. And began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? Now, how were you just thinking when I said there's some that partake who are not the Lord's? Were you thinking of somebody else? See, that's what happens a lot of times. I've had people say that. I said, well, why do you have open communion? You ought to determine who takes and who doesn't. It's not my table. It's the Lord's. I'm thankful it's so. You go back and read the old books. Some of those old reformers, they love to do this on Saturday evening before Sunday morning. They'd have a lineup, you come by the office and sit down, and you were quizzed about how the month went. since the last one. And if they found any reason, a fault in you, a little crack in the wall, it was like, okay, you better not partake. Mm-hmm. Next, aren't you glad it's not that way? I wouldn't want to be subject to men's scrutiny for decisions. Nor would I want any of us looking around thinking, well, I wonder why that person's partaking. The question is, why are you partaking? It says here, when he said unto them, one of you shall betray me, they were exceeding sorrowful. And began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? Am I one of those that is just putting on a front, going through the motion, but really have no saving interest at all in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's pitiful, but it's more likely possible than not because of how we're raised. We raise kids to make a profession at an early age, and they think they're in, and everything goes forward from there. The only thing I can tell you is the Lord knows those that are His, else He would not have said, one of you shall betray me. He didn't say, a number of you shall. He already knew that one, which was the son of perdition. And I've mentioned before, I don't even know Judas understood the nature of his own heart to betray our Lord. I think a lot of people think he had this all planned out. There was a miserable man fighting with himself, knowing the Lord to be who he is, and yet not being able to resist betraying him and going through with it. And then rather than repent, because no repentance was granted, what did he do? He went out and hung himself. We don't even know our own hearts. Jeremiah said the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? All I know is if the Lord doesn't save me, I shall not be saved. So this is the cry of a sinner. Verse 23, he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. There's a formality. Taking the dish, dipping it, eating. They all dipped with their hand in the dish. This was passed. It was some bread eaten with herbs. So even there, he wasn't giving anything away. But what he's saying is, while all of y'all are dipping the hand in the dish, one of you is the one. And the Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. I fear there's a lot of hardened religionists today that can go through the same motions we are, even with the Lord's table, that feel better about themselves as they partook of the Lord's table, and yet know nothing of the Lord. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, notice this, I don't think he was playing a game here. Master, is it I? Same expression as all the rest as they went around. And he said unto him, thou hast said. Now, you read some of the other Gospels, it was at that point that he actually, the Lord said, go do what you have to do, and do it quickly. And you talk about outward form. There wasn't a disciple that even had a clue that it was Judas. I mean, he was their treasurer. He's the one that kept the money, the bag. If they had suspicion, you don't give money to somebody you're suspicious of. They thought he was, because it was the Passover, they thought he was going out to give alms to the poor and come back. So however movies, Hollywood portrays Judas looking like some evil, dark-eyed person hovering around, that's not it. Pick your best person that you look at and say, there's a Christian. That was Judas. There wasn't anything in the outward that betrayed him. And yet, when the Lord turned him loose to his own devices, the struggles of his heart, whatever was going on, he didn't run to the Lord. People say to me, you know, I wish God would just leave the choice up to man. Oh, no, you don't want that. Turn a tennis ball loose. It only goes one way, down. That's what happened with Judas. He didn't even know his own nature. And for any of us to think we know ours, we're fooling ourselves. As we're going to find at the end of the chapter, Peter said, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. That's the pride of the heart. You ask yourself, what difference was there between Judas and Peter? None! The only difference was the Lord kept his hand on Peter, went to the cross and paid his debt, but he turned Judas loose. You don't want to be turned loose by God. And here's now where we have the transition. As they were eating, that Old Testament Passover, that was done, Jesus took bread, the unleavened bread, and blessed it, break it, gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." That's a sermon in and of itself. All of those Old Testament Passovers, the bread represented this body of Christ that was prepared. I often mention, I can't get away from it. You see the burn marks on the bread that we're partaking of. Unleavened, it's flat. There's no leaven in this. But it's a picture of Christ having been sown in the ground, grew up, wheat cut, run through the mill, the flour, bread of life. But through the fire, he had to die. And that's what the cup represents. He took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This is the sum of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament." The testament is a will of the testament. Those whose names are mentioned there, put in there from eternity, which is shed for many, and the original that's for the many. That's the many that God the Father gave to the Son from eternity, for whom he came. And for what? The remission of sins. Christ is not now bearing our sin. He bore it away. It's done. It's finished. So complete was his work at the cross. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Here's the part I want us to all consider. Because the Lord said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst." You say, "Well, Christ is in glory." Yep, but he's with his church. And when we meet to remember his death till he come, he is with us. Why? Because his spirit is in us. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Let's thank the Lord and we'll pray. Gracious Father, I thank you for your word. How precious when you're pleased to open it up to us. I'm thankful that that rock, Christ, was only struck one time and the water came forth. From henceforth, we speak to the rock. We seek you, Father, through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And any blessing we would desire is only for his sake, not for us. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name, give the glory. And I pray that as we partake, that our thoughts would be upon this one who came, lived, died, and rose again, ascended on high, from whom all blessings. That I give you all the praise, honor, and glory in his precious name.